Well, it's a pleasure to be here again this evening. It's always a pleasure to stand and share when you feel like God is giving you a message for the evening. And I was surprised even as I laid the message out how things came into place and a reoccurring theme keeps coming up. I was surprised as I read through some of the verses, as the Lord brought to my mind different verses and went to them. And so you'll perhaps pick them up tonight as we go through these verses. Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. The title of the message this evening is Heavenly Places. Heavenly Places. Sometimes you might think that this church, when we sing, and I could have sat down there and sang for another couple of songs, but that, you know, when we sing here, it can be a heavenly place. I'm staying out at Brother Mel and Sister Barbie's little cabin out there, and that can be a heavenly place also. But here in Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul talks about heavenly places. And let's read down through verse number 3, starting in verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Let's pray before we continue tonight. Heavenly Father, I do ask you tonight in Jesus Christ's name that, Lord, that you could help me to share, Lord, in such a way as to convey your heart and your word and that which you've placed upon my heart for tonight, Lord. And I do invite you here and ask you to lead me and direct me. Lord, I surrender myself, Lord, to you, that you might use me for your purposes and for your glory. Open up our hearts, Lord, and even those who are unconverted here tonight, that you would open the hearts of the lost and help them to take part in heavenly places, Lord, this evening. Come and bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Paul says here in verse number 3, and we're going to focus in large part tonight on verse number 3, although we're going to look in other places in the Bible. This is the burden I believe God has for us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, don't turn me off tonight. You might think that, well, this is just a message we've heard many, many times, and we're going to be going into different areas this evening, but I would like to consider the concept here of heavenly places. What does Paul mean when he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places? Notice it says that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. You know, if we have so many blessings, and God has blessed us with so many blessings, it's important that we know where these blessings are. The Bible says these blessings are in heavenly places. About 2 months ago, I was down in Tennessee, and my wife and I own a little bit of a store there in Tennessee. We were part owners of it. My wife invested in it when she was still single, before I married her. And while we were down there, each year, the first of the year, we get a dividend check. And it's a very nice blessing come January or February to get a dividend check. It's a rather substantial dividend check, and we're really blessed by it. This year I got the dividend check, and I was preaching down in Pikeville, which is about an hour or so from Muddy Pond. And on my way down to Pikeville, I had this check in my checking book in my back pocket. And on the way down, I stopped at one or two different places, and I got down to Pikeville, and I preached, and I went back home. And the next day, I looked in my checkbook, and I did not have my check in my checkbook. And because it was a rather substantial amount, it kind of concerned me. And here I had a blessing, but I didn't know where the blessing was. The blessing could have been flying in the wind. I thought maybe someone would try to take it into the bank and try to cash it, because it was large enough to take a risk. And so I was concerned about my blessing. And lo and behold, some honest young lady, a waitress at a restaurant that I stopped at, evidently saw this piece of paper underneath the table, and she picked it up and looked at it and took it to the manager. The manager went and put the check in the safe or in the vault there, and then we were able to take care of that. But it's a kind of an uneasy feeling to have a blessing and to lose it or to not know where it is. And so here in this passage, we're told we have great spiritual blessings, but they are found in heavenly places. Now, is heavenly places some distant land? It is some distant place. Just a little bit ago, a few weeks ago, we went to the Creation Museum and we sat in that planetarium, if any of you have been there, and we watched as we took a trip out into infinity. And the years and the light years and the millions and billions and trillions of light years out into eternity. And how far it is to the place where God is, or many times we think of heaven. Is heavenly places in some distant land? Do I have to get a rocket and take off to heavenly places to get these spiritual blessings that God has given me in heavenly places? What good are spiritual blessings if I can't reach them? Why would God bless us and put it out of our reach? Where are these heavenly places that the Apostle Paul is talking about? Maybe this blessing is something in the future. Maybe at death, or maybe at the second coming of Christ. That's when we're going to inherit these wonderful blessings. But no, the Bible says that He hath blessed us. That's past tense. It is something that we have already right now. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Well, what are heavenly places? The word heavenly here means simply something that is high. Something that is high and lifted up. A place that's above. How high? How high are these heavenly blessings? How high are these spiritual blessings that God has blessed us with? Can we measure it in miles? Can we measure it in feet? Can we measure it in light years? Where are these heavenly blessings? In the Bible, heaven is always up and hell and earth are always down. Jesus came down from heaven to the earth. Jesus ascended up to His Father. Capernaum was to be cast down to hell. Angels that sinned were cast down to hell. The word heavenly is a word that refers to something that is spiritual, something that is up, not something that is down, something that is below, or something that is earthly. And so when Paul says that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, he's talking about something that is up, not something that is down. It's in heavenly places. It's up there. Well, how far up there? Well, you know, God's throne, and I've often thought about this, God's throne is in the heavens. Yet I'm commanded to come boldly to the throne of grace. And I don't need a rocket to get there, amen? I am commanded to come boldly unto the throne of grace, where God is sitting in the heavens, where Jesus is at His right hand. I am commanded to come to Him. Now, how do I come to Him? You know, oftentimes we think too much in the natural. We think too much in the physical. It's impossible for me to physically travel such a distance, but in the spiritual realm, I can come into heavenly places and meet with God. I don't need a rocket. But in my heart and mind, I can come into the heavenlies. You know, in the spiritual, there is no distance. There is no distance in feet, miles, light years. There is no distance. God is right here with us. There is no distance. We're not talking about something that is earthly. We're talking about something that is heavenly, something that is spiritual. The heavenly places are the places above. They are the places where our inner man, our heart, and our mind can dwell with God. These are heavenly places. It's interesting in Luke chapter 16, the story of the rich man and Abraham and Lazarus. How that Jesus said that the rich man was actually able to talk to Abraham. Now, if heaven and hell are physically a distance of millions and millions of miles, it would take an awful big shout for them to talk with one another. But though the rich man was in torments in hell, he could speak to Abraham, who was in comfort and blessing in the presence of God. You see, the hell that the rich man was going through was that he was in mental anguish. He was separated from God. Abraham was in comfort and in peace. One's mind, or one mind was tormented, one heart was tormented. The other mind, the other heart was at perfect peace. And yet one who is dwelling separated from God in a hell was able to communicate evidently with one who is living in heavenly places. A man can have his heart and mind in heavenly places and talk to another whose heart and mind is tormented. I've been to mental institutions. And I've walked into that mental institution and my mind has been in heavenly places. My heart has been in heavenly places. And I have talked to people who are tormented. And their minds are not in heavenly places. They are not living in the presence of God. They're being tormented day and night. And so here I am, though he and I are a great distance from one another. I in a heavenly place, he in a very tormented place, can communicate one with another. I by his bedside. To be in heavenly places is to be mentally and spiritually lifted up into the presence of God. God dwells in heavenly places. I'd like you to look in John chapter 3. Here's a very interesting verse. Jesus describes this heavenly place. The Lord here is communicating with Nicodemus. I think we'll read this story a little bit later here, but in John chapter 3 in verse number 12, Jesus says these words. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Now think about that for a minute. No man has ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Now Jesus says here that he has come down from heaven, but he is in heaven. He has come down from heaven to dwell and walk upon this earth in a physical body. But even though he came down from heaven, he is dwelling in heaven. Jesus came down from heaven in a physical body, but he was in heaven. His mind and heart was in heavenly places. Many had a difficult time understanding Jesus, because his mind was always in heavenly places. And theirs were in earthly places. Here in this chapter, Nicodemus and Jesus are communicating. And Nicodemus has a question for Jesus. And Jesus in verse 3 says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now Jesus' mind is in heavenly places. He is walking with God. His mind is lifted up. He is in the Spirit. And he communicates to Nicodemus a spiritual reality because he's living in heavenly places. And Nicodemus is, because he's living in low down earthly places, he says, what? How can a man be born again? How can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? You see, his mind was in earthly places. Jesus was in heavenly places. And of course, the Lord gives him an answer that you must be born again. And then in verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? You see, Jesus was dwelling in heavenly places. His heart and mind was lifted up. Look back at John chapter 2, and you can go through the whole New Testament and see this over and over again in verse number 19. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. You know, that came out of a heart that was living in heavenly places. They were looking at a temple, a physical temple. And Jesus speaks, destroy this temple. And then in verse 20, then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in the building. And wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? You see, their mind was down here on the earth. And when Jesus spoke about heavenly things, because his mind was in heavenly places, they couldn't understand him. But he spake of the temple of his body. You see, when Jesus spoke, he always spoke of heavenly things. Oftentimes he used earthly analogies, but his mind dwelt in heavenly places. And many could not understand him in John chapter 4. This is repeated throughout the Bible. In verse number 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of the Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now the Lord meets this woman, and he begins a conversation with her, and he's not wanting to talk about the water that comes from the well, but he wants to talk about heavenly things. Because his mind is in heavenly places. You see, Jesus lived his life in heavenly places. And so when he communicated to people, he communicated to them heavenly truth. Spiritual things. Things that are high and lifted up. Well, this woman doesn't understand what he's saying. He's trying to communicate spiritual truth. She's thinking about physical water. You know, oftentimes our soul-winning efforts would go a whole lot better if our minds were in heavenly places. Oftentimes we meet people, and I think it's going to be a tragedy in the day when we stand before God in judgment to see how many people that we met along the way, like this dear woman, and because our minds were down here in low places in the earth, that our minds were darkened from the reality that God wanted us to speak a word to this individual and speak a word that came from a heart that was dwelling in heavenly places. You know, we don't have to memorize some sort of a soul-winning plan to win souls. We simply need to keep our hearts and minds stayed in heavenly places. John chapter 4, verse 31. After talking to the woman, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. You know, their minds are getting on, let's get something to eat. Let's do something about this. Our stomachs are hungry. Well, this response shows again that Jesus' mind is in heavenly places. And he says, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Verse 30. 5. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. Lift up your eyes. Get your vision up higher. Stop looking down here. Start lifting your heart and mind up into heavenly places. Jesus, even as He looked out over the fields, what did He see? He saw souls. When He looked out over a field of grain, He didn't comment on how beautiful the grain was because His mind and heart was in heavenly places. He saw an analogy of the lost condition of the world. And so He tells His disciples, fellas, lift up your eyes. You see, I think Jesus was one who, as He walked along on the face of the earth, He dwelt in heavenly places. His mind and heart was always in heavenly places. And He viewed things from a heavenly perspective. And all the people that He ministered to were way down here. And they wouldn't lift up their heart and mind to heavenly places. And He was constantly being misunderstood. Jesus came down from heaven, but He dwelt in heavenly places. And we could go through the Bible here and see often how this happened in His life. Let's go back and look at Ephesians again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Notice these blessings in heavenly places are spiritual blessings. You know, I find that oftentimes when people in the church talk about blessings, they come down to these low physical blessings. I thank God for food. I thank God for a house. I thank God for the blessing of having a nice car. I thank God for the blessing of all the clothes that we have. I thank God for the blessing of shoes. I thank God for the blessing. You know, we're living in earthly places. We thank God for things like food and money and cars and health, which is okay. I believe when Jesus lifted up His hand and thanked God for the bread, I think He thanked God for something that was physical. But it is the spiritual blessings in heavenly places that we are greatly blessed with. And I don't see or I don't hear many people thanking God for the spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And one of the reasons I think we don't bless God because of the spiritual blessings in heavenly places is because we're not getting the spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And so we're reduced to blessing God for the simple little things that we have every day. And nothing more. So you get a group of people together to thank God for things, and they begin to thank God for food, and for a house, and for a car, for the land they have, and for the farm, and for the crops. When are we going to begin to thank God for the spiritual blessings in heavenly places? In Ephesians 1 here, He gives some of those. In verse number 8, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. This riches, this glory is not something to do with the physical things. It has everything to do with the spiritual blessings in heavenly places. These blessings are eternal. They're not temporal. You know, when God gives you a house, when God gives you a car, that house and that car is going to be taken from you. But if God blesses you in some spiritual way, that spiritual blessing will take you into eternity. Forever and ever. We may speak of being blessed with food, but our soul may be starving. We may talk of water being a blessing while our soul is thirsting. We may talk of money being a blessing while we are in poverty spiritually. Jesus said this, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods. We have so many blessings, but knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You know what that is saying? That these people are living down in earthly places, and they're blessing God because they have riches and were increased with goods, and thank you, Lord, for this material blessing, and thank you for this material blessing, and God, we have so many blessings. Thank you, Lord. We're rich and increased with goods, and we have need of nothing. The Lord says spiritually, these blessings I have for you in heavenly places, you're impoverished. You're sickly. You have nothing. We need to be careful not to focus so much on our physical blessings that we forget our spiritual blessings. It's troubling to me when we ask for how has the Lord blessed you, and people respond over and over again with earthly, temporal things. God wants us to be like His Son, to walk in this physical world but live in heavenly places. God has not promised material prosperity. Do you realize that? Most of us know that. God has not promised material prosperity. He has not promised blessings materially. He has simply promised food and raiment, and therewith we're to be content. But He has promised spiritual blessings. And those spiritual blessings are more than the sands of the sea. They're amazing. They're wonderful. There's many of them. There's no limit. Things like wisdom and revelation and power. Something else you notice in verse 3, that these heavenly blessings are in Christ. And I sometimes wonder that the reason why we're not getting these heavenly blessings is we're not in Christ. The heavenly blessings are in Christ. If we're in Christ, we ought to be having and experiencing these heavenly blessings. If you're outside of Christ, you have no possibility of acquiring them. These spiritual blessings are found through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. Most of us know that. It is through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, His death and burial and resurrection, that these blessings are given to us. They are blessings that are in Christ. When you get Christ, you get spiritual blessings. So you must be born again to dwell in heavenly places. And Jesus is our example. He walked upon the earth, yet He lived in heavenly places. Then He died and was raised from the dead, and now is seated on the right hand of God and receives His full reward. And that's the beauty of our life. We can walk through this life even though we're in this world and live in heavenly places. And as we walk in this life, living in heavenly places, we'll someday pass out of this life and receive our full reward. But God desires that we walk in heavenly places while we're here. There is a higher realm in which to live, above this earthly realm. It's called heavenly places. Jesus, speaking of the lost Gentiles, said this, therefore take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, or wherewithal shall you be clothed. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, this is where the Gentiles live. They live down here in this world, in materialism, in the temporal affairs of this life. This is where their mind and heart dwells. They are living in low places. Their heart and mind is blinded to the spiritual realities of heavenly places. That's where the Gentiles live, but you don't live there. You live in heavenly places. I remember reading a story one time of a woman who had a telescope up in her upstairs, and she had one of her relatives come and visit her home. And the relative said, can I go up and use your telescope and look with your telescope. And the woman said, sure, go ahead and use it. And he went up and got up in the upstairs there and spent about an hour looking through the telescope. And then he came down and the woman said, well, how did you enjoy the view? And he said, it was amazing. He said, I noticed this neighbor over here was doing this, and I noticed this neighbor over here was doing this, and the whole time he was up there, he was looking around at the neighborhood. When he had the beauties of the heavens before him, when he could have put his heart and mind in spiritual place, or heavenly places, he was dwelling here on the earth. The blessings of God, brothers and sisters, are not in the lowlands. They're not earthly. They're not the temporal things of this world. They're not setting your heart and affections here, but we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. When I was in Bible school, one of the things they used to say, and it's not true, but they used to say this, you're so heavenly minded, you're of no earthly good. The truth of the matter is, most people are so earthly minded, they're no heavenly good. Look, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3. Starting in verse number 1. A very familiar verse. If ye then be risen with Christ, if you've been born of the Spirit, seek those things which are above. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you are dead to this world, and your life is hid with Christ in God. The word affections there is the Greek word phroneo, which means to exercise the mind, to be mentally disposed. It's the same word used in Romans 8 about the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. In other words, Paul is encouraging the church here to set their mind, Set their mental disposition on things above. Set your heart and mind on heavenly places. Get your heart and mind out of this world and up here into heavenly places, because that's where the spiritual blessings are. They're up here in heavenly places. To live in the heavenlies. And notice here in chapter 2 that there's a number of things that are trying to pull their hearts down from heavenly places. And let's just look through them real quickly. Verse number 6 of chapter 2. As you have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. In other words, beware, church. God wants your heart and mind in heavenly places, but there are certain individuals and there are certain spirits that's going to try to draw your heart and mind down to this world, to bring your heart and mind down to worldly places. Here's someone else. He warns them against in verse 16, Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. Let no one take your heart and mind out of heavenly places and bring them down and have you focus on old covenant shadows and types. This is happening all over the church. People are being dragged out of heavenly places. Angels, in verse 18. Verse 20, wherefore if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why as though living in the world are you subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. Here, commandments of men, doctrines of men, traditions of men, drawing your heart and mind to them and bringing you out of heavenly places and dragging you down to the earth, where there are no spiritual blessings down there. When I was a child, we used to play a game called King of the Mountain. You'd try to be the one to stand up on top of the mountain while everyone was trying to pull you down. Well, that's kind of the way we are. God wants our heart and mind in heavenly places, and there's a lot of things trying to pull us out of there. These words were written to the church to warn against things that want to draw us down from heavenly places. Now, Jesus was always trying to lift men's minds up. Out of the natural to the spiritual, where the spiritual blessings are. Do you know if you in your heart and mind will begin to dwell in heavenly places, you'll begin to experience all the spiritual blessings that are in heavenly places. But if our hearts and minds dwell down here, the low places, the lowlands, there are no spiritual blessings there. Look, if you would, to Mark chapter 8. Here's an interesting passage. I just stumbled on this today. I believe God just directed me to it. Don't even know how I got to it, but it's interesting how it reads here. Mark chapter 8. Starting in verse number 14, here the disciples have the same problem. They are not in heavenly places. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. So the disciples are concerned again about food. Remember what Jesus said, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, what you shall put on. But the disciples are down here in earthly places. Their minds, their hearts are dwelling low. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Jesus now is trying to bring them up into heavenly places to teach them spiritual truth. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. They're trying to reason with Jesus and what he said. Their minds are down in low places. His mind is up in heavenly places. And they got all messed up. And when Jesus knew it, or when he perceived what they were thinking, he said unto them, why reason ye because you have no bread? Perceive you not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? They're living still in the lower realm. They're still living in earthly places. And here Jesus says in verse 18, having eyes, see you not? And having ears, hear you not? And do you not remember? We've talked about these verses already, haven't we? You see, because their mind is not in heavenly places, meditating, thinking, being sensitive to God and what He is saying about life and about their situation, what they have learned in the past, they don't remember, they forget. And notice Jesus calls it hardness of heart. Their hearts are down here. Their hearts are being choked by the cares and the affections of this world. And so when the teachings of Jesus come into that heart, because He is teaching them from heavenly places, they don't remember. And He calls it a hardness of heart. And then He tries to remind them in verse 19, when I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? They say unto Him, 12. And when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? And they said, 7. And He said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? How is it that this that I've taught you and showed you is not staying in your heart? Don't you remember? We were without bread and I supplied you. Don't you remember the 5,000? We didn't have enough, and I supplied it for you. Now you forgot a loaf of bread. Don't you remember? Do you know why they didn't remember? Because their heart and mind was dwelling in low places. Many things upon their heart and mind, they forgot. And Jesus said, hard-heartedness. Hard-heartedness. Why can't you understand? He said, how is it that you do not understand? Do you know what it means to understand? It means to take in the teachings of Jesus and to meditate and to understand into such a depth that they remain there, and that our hearts and minds are so in tune with God that we are walking in heavenly places, that when these situations occur, God is able to take those things and instruct us. And we're able to walk in obedience and holiness. How often in life we get so preoccupied with this world that things happen. God wants to do things. He wants to show us things, but we pass them up because of the hardness of our heart. You know, it is so important tonight that our minds live in heavenly places. This has been so impressed upon my heart. Maybe this is why God would have me to share this, but so many times we miss opportunities. I shared with you a while back that a couple of years ago I went through a very deep valley, and God began to show me the importance of keeping my mind in heavenly places. And not allowing my mind to go down here into these low places. Because there's no spiritual blessings down there. The blessings are up in heavenly places. And so I began to, by the grace of God, try to bring every thought into captivity. Try to walk, as soon as I woke up in the morning, to go into heavenly places. And live in heavenly places. And to be very observant of my thoughts and my heart and where I was day by day by day by day. And then I began to see how God began to bless me with wisdom and revelation and understanding. And I need a whole lot more, amen? But during this time, the Lord began to show me. And may I not forget how sensitive we need to be, how we need to dwell in heavenly places, keep our minds stayed upon Him. There was a young boy that was in a tragic accident during this time, and I was trying to live in heavenly places. And I was sitting at the table in my home, and we got a call from an individual who we know who said that this boy was taken to the hospital and the doctor said that he's probably not going to make it. And they were on the way to the hospital. They had about another half hour or 45 minutes to get to the hospital. And they said that the doctor had called them and said, "You better hurry because this child is not going to live before you get here." And I was sitting there, and you know what I mean when I say this, I trust, but there are times you hear news and it just kind of goes in your ears and goes out, and maybe you throw up a prayer to heaven. Yes, God help this little boy. I didn't really know the boy. But as I sat there trying to live in heavenly places, the Spirit of God impressed upon my heart to pray for this boy. And you know what it's like when the Spirit of God directs you to pray? The Spirit of God gives you the burden to pray. And I went down to my office and I prayed with a burden for an hour. And then I finished and I came upstairs and I sat down, and just a little bit later, probably 30 minutes, we got a telephone call from the same person. They said, "I'm at the hospital now and the doctor said there's been an amazing change. And this child is doing much better. And today this child is doing well and he's healthy." And I thought to myself, "God, you know it's important that I dwell in heavenly places, because there's many times, Lord, that you want to do things that your people are not listening and dwelling in heavenly places, and we miss it. We miss it." In that very same time, we as a church have been praying about a mission. One night I was laying in bed and I had a dream. I'm not a dreamer. Trying to live in heavenly places. And I saw two individuals who I knew in the southern part of the country walking along a river somewhere in the south. And they walked along this river and came to an individual. And they stood and talked to the individual. I was on the other side of the river in this dream, and they walked off, and the individual stayed there, and that's all I saw. But before I got out of bed that morning, the phone rang. And this individual I saw in the dream, I picked up the phone and he said, "There's a man from Colombia here. I want you to talk to him." And I hung the phone up and I scratched my head. Is God saying something here? Do you know, I believe that God wants to speak to us and give us revelation and wisdom and many spiritual blessings that He has in heavenly places. The problem is we are walking in low places. We are walking down here in earthly places. We are not walking up here in heavenly places and being sensitive. Do we understand? Do we understand how often people say, Brother Jerry, I want to prosper in my life. I want to be fruitful. I want to do great things for God. Psalm 1 says, Thou shalt meditate therein day and night into His Word. And whatsoever you do will prosper. You say, I know that. But how many of you do it? Do you understand? Do you understand? Are we to keep our minds stayed upon Him? I know that. But do we understand? Do you yet understand? He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. If you live in heavenly places, you shall be blessed with all spiritual blessings. Look over at Romans chapter 8. Here Paul is describing the spiritual mind, a mind that dwells in heavenly places. And in verse number 5 of Romans chapter 8, he says, For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. That's where they dwell. They don't dwell in heavenly places. But they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. Do you know that life flows out of a heavenly mind? Life flows out of a spiritual mind. Verse number 6, For to be carnally minded is death. There's nothing in the carnal mind, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. How many of you have experienced this in your life, that after you've been a week in a revival meeting and you've heard the Word of God preached, that you have more spiritual life? Do you know why you have more spiritual life? It's because for a week you've been lifted up a little bit into heavenly places. And your mind has been turned from the things of this world, and you're more focused on spiritual things, and you're being lifted up into heavenly places, and God is beginning to give a little bit of life. The spiritual mind is life and peace. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon Thee. I love that verse. You know, there's so many things in nature that teach us spiritual truths. I get in an airplane and I take off and I fly, and you know, underneath that cloud level, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10,000 feet, there are tornadoes, there are hurricanes, there is lightning, there's thunder, there's a lot of difficult things that happen underneath those clouds. But brothers and sisters, when you get up above those clouds and you get up about 35, 40,000 feet, there's nothing up there but peace. And quiet. And the sun. Do you think God made the earth to teach us a lesson? So many people are in their mind and heart dwelling down here in earthly things. And they're wondering why turmoil and strife and all the problems that we have in life, why they can't get out of that and come up into heavenly places. Poor Paul and Silas, they're sitting in a jail in the inner prison. They're singing. How can they sing in a prison like that? Some people may think, well, Paul looked over to Silas and said, Silas, listen, I know this is a bad situation. I know we're all discouraged, but let's just try to sing. No, you know what? These two men were living in heavenly places. In their heart and mind, they were living in heavenly places. It didn't matter the situation they were in. They were lifting up their voices to God. And you know, God blessed them with spiritual blessings because they were willing to live in heavenly places. Dust by its own nature can rise only so far above the road. And birds which fly higher never have it upon their wings. So the heart that knows how to fly high escapes those little cares and vexations which brood upon the earth. Notice what it says here in verse number 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Think about that. That the carnal mind, the mind that is down here, that dwells in the lowlands, it is not subject to the law of God. It's not going to obey the law of God, neither indeed can it obey the law of God. Someone says, Brother Jerry, why don't I have power over sin? Why can't I obey the law of God? If you live down here in the lowlands, you cannot obey God. This is at enmity with God. It is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. I can guarantee you this tonight, if your heart and mind is living in this world, if you're down here in the lowland, you're disobedient to the law of God. Because there's no power, there's no strength down there, there's no spiritual blessing. The carnal mind has a difficult time obeying. There is no power for obedience in the carnal mind. Wonder sometimes why there's so much sin in the church. It's because we're not dwelling in heavenly places. We are dwelling down here in low places. One of the spiritual blessings in heavenly places is power. Ephesians 3:19 says, "The exceeding greatness of His power is one of those things that God blesses us with in heavenly places." So a husband, he's out working all day, and he's dwelling in heavenly places. And he comes home, and he walks in the door, and his wife comes running to him and says, "Honey, the washing machine broke today. Johnny broke his leg and the bill collectors were knocking at the door." And he responds, "Honey, it's all right. God will take care of it." Do you know why he has the power to respond like that? Because he's been dwelling in heavenly places. There is freedom in heavenly places. Here's another principle that God teaches us from nature. Do you know that there is an atmosphere around this earth, and God made it that way? And as long as you're inside that atmosphere, there's a power on you, a force. It's called gravity. As long as you're inside the atmosphere, that gravity is pulling you down. But if you get through that and you get out into heavenly places, there's no more pull. And there's a principle, there's a natural principle there that if we dwell in heavenly places, then we can have victory in our life. Power over our sin. It's out there in heavenly places. God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Live tonight in heavenly places and enjoy the blessings that God has blessed us with. Jesus said, "No man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven." I visualize the life of Jesus as one that every day, all the day, His heart and mind was up here in heavenly places. And that's why when someone approached Him with a question or any situation that He faced, He always responded with a heavenly answer. Because His heart was in heavenly places. And the Lord says to us, "Follow Me." I who came down from heaven, I'm in heaven. I'm in heavenly places. And I walk in heavenly places. But the Bible says that the carnal mind is at enmity with God. Tonight, are you in heavenly places? Are you dwelling in heavenly places? God has blessed each one of us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Blessings of wisdom, blessings of revelation, blessings of power. They're up there in heavenly places. And until we're willing to be serious and bring our hearts and minds up into heavenly places, we shall not tap into what God has for us. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Are you in heavenly places tonight? Let's close this evening with a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you tonight, Lord, that you have blessed us. And that those blessings are available for us in heavenly places, Lord. I pray, Heavenly Father, you lift us up and raise up our hearts and minds. That we might have a sincere desire to dwell in higher places. Oh Lord, that we might have revelation and understanding, wisdom. We might have the power of God upon our life. That we might know the mystery of thy will. That we might be able to accomplish it. That we might be sensitive, Lord. That we might do thy will. Thank you, Lord, for the grace and the blessing of giving us such wonderful treasures. And may we this evening, Lord, be willing to dwell in those heavenly places in Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it takes time to do that. That's often one of the things that we face. There's no time to dwell in heavenly places. Let's sing this evening 277, Take Time to Be Holy. Speak oft with thy Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Effort of Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.